Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
My guests today on One-on-One are two of the finest voice actors from the Funimation camp. They are known for voicing the greatest frenemy duo in the anime realm, Son Goku, and the Prince of All Saiyans, Vegeta. This week, the new Dragon Ball Z film, Resurrection F, will be hitting American theaters for a limited run on August 4th through the 12th. I am pleased to welcome to the show Sean Schimmel and Christopher Sabat.
Hey. Whoa, man, I am pumped.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was trying to do the opposite.
To do the opposite of your intro. Like, your intro was so over the top. I was going to try to come in as bored as possible. But I love your intro so much. I'm like, he's the most amazing then. And I'm like, hi, how's it going?
Hey.
So, but how are you guys doing today?
What's the show about again?
So how are you guys doing today?
Oh, great.
We just finished lunch. We're talking to a laptop currently with the picture of some guy rocking out on it. Well, that's you. That's you. Sorry, Evan.
Yeah.
And we're excited to be here. We're excited about the movie. It's pretty thrilling.
Oh, so same here. I am very excited. So some may think that playing these, you know, iconic roles of Goku and Vegeta must put a lot of weight on your shoulders. But you've been portraying these two characters for many years. So is there still any stress that comes into play when you're behind a mic for these roles? Or are you now at a point where you can just walk into the recording studio and go, yeah, I got this?
I tend to feel like I got this when I'm recording the series. But for the movies, I was particularly nervous. But especially after the success of Battle of Gods, you really feel like that band who had that first mega hit, and then you're like, oh, crap, we have to repeat. Can we do it, you know? And you're also relying on a completely different creative team because we're just the dub actors. So, you know, Akira Toriyama and crew could have written a shitty movie, but luckily they did not. And I mean that honestly. I'm not doing any hype here. It actually is a really good movie. And in many ways, it's better than Battle of Gods. Although, my original take was that it was from better than Battle of Gods, and in some ways it is. But then I started getting nostalgic about Battle of Gods already. I'm like, well, it's got some things. They really are a perfect double feature for an afternoon.
Absolutely.
They really are.
Yeah, we're basically being carried away by the momentum that this show has right now. And it's very exciting to work on it. And especially after basically doing the same material for the last 15 years to finally get something new. It's really amazing for all of us.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the question, because yes, you mentioned the TV show and such, because we have over 508 episodes, 19 films, 2 OVAs. Is there anything about Resurrection F that really surprised you about the Dragon Ball universe?
Master Roshi going roiding out and doing a Kamehameha twice, I think, spoiler alert.
That surprised Sean. It surprised some people, but I remember him doing that in Dragon Ball. Sean, of course, wasn't in like Dragon Ball, the original series, because
right.
He was it was a kid Goku, so Sean hadn't seen that before.
No, I hadn't
even
seen it.
The girl who plays Chiaotzu, her name's Brina Palencia, she leaned over to me. She was like, can Master Roshi do that? I'm like, yeah, he can. I wasn't expecting to see it.
Well, he didn't teach Goku that. I mean, I knew he taught him that, but I just didn't expect to see it in the movie.
I wasn't expecting to see it either.
And I was surprised to see Chi-Chi absent. And when I watched the movie with Masako Nozawa, I turned to her, and she was sitting next to me. I said, where's Chi-Chi? And in very cute, broken English, she said, she's at home. And and that was her answer to me. It was very cute.
So, yes, Sean, you have had many moments with Masako Nozawa, the original voice actress of Goku. Just out of curiosity, what happens when you put these two voice actors in the room together?
Well, we did not record together, obviously.
I know that. I know that. But when you have two different Gokus in the same room together, what do you two talk about?
Well, there's a language barrier.
Of course.
She does have a translator with her. My general tendency, I've met a lot of famous people from my travels, and I tend to try to leave them alone because they're being bombarded all day. And so I met her at Anna Maysman a few years ago, and then the Japanese producers requested that I be present with her for the screening of Resurrection F in the Japanese version at the Egyptian Theater in April, which we already did. And they insisted that I ride in the limo with her, that I take the stage with her. And I just, through the translator, just thanked her for sharing that Goku space with me because I'm just a dub actor. I mean, it'd be like, if the dub actor for Tom Cruise is like running around in the limo with him or something, or the dub actor for Homer Simpson was running around, so it was very gracious of them and gracious of her. And we talked a little bit about the character Goku and how we portrayed. I did ask her questions about how she comes to playing the character and, what kind of psychological things she does in her. I don't know if it's because of a broken translation, but her answers to me is like, Goku's very natural to me. It's just a very natural thing. And I kind of relate to that in the sense that I've been playing the character for so long that the line between when I am playing the character and when I'm not is very blurry. I hope that answers your question. But
as for me, the voice of Vegeta, I couldn't help but think I could destroy that limousine and kill both of them at once.
No more Goku!
Well, yeah, that is a very evil plan, Chris. That is a very evil plan. I'm glad you didn't do it, though.
Yeah, it sounds like
your voice. Is there two people there?
Nope, it's just me.
Because you're like talking like there's this high pitched voice guy talking, and then when you say your last name, it drops into your dad's voice.
Yeah, it almost sounds like he's overdubbing himself.
Yeah, like you're overdubbing yourself.
That is weird. I've never been told that before. I don't know if it's a compliment, Mile, but I'll take it for whatever it is.
Wow.
I got asked too, because Funimation recently licensed the anime Seiyu's Life, which has Masako guessing in the first episode as herself. So, Sean, would it be appropriate for you to play her whenever the show gets dubbed?
I'm not even familiar with that property or any of that, and I don't know if it would be appropriate only in the sense that the fact that she plays Goku as an adult is a bit of a fluke, because I got to ask her about that. Most child characters like Kid Goku are played by women, and then when they get older, they're replaced by men, and I thought it was tradition to keep the character, but in Japan, apparently they do the same thing. So I was able to ask Masako why she was able to keep the role, and they were going to replace her on Dragon Ball Z, and she insisted, well, not really insisted, but she requested to Akira Toriyama and the director of Dragon Ball Z if she could reprise her role when they started working on Dragon Ball Z when Goku was an adult, and they let her re-audition for the part, and they gave her the part. So that's a pretty rare thing. So I feel like if I took any other role that she's playing, unless she's playing a male part, it would be very odd for me to reprise any other role she has for an American audience, unless, of course, it was a male role she was playing.
That is true. Very true. Now, Chris, as both the voice of Piccolo and Vegeta, was it difficult trying to come up with more than one way to sound badass?
Well, they're really just sort of exist in two different places in my voice. As you know, that Vegeta's as high and scratchy at the very top end of my voice. I don't use any of my chest.
And then Piccolo's like the opposite of that. He's like everything that's below that. Like I almost put like a high pass filter on it so you can't hear anything above it.
A little bit. You kind of have that sort of, I don't know if you're familiar with Thrilling Adventure Hour, but you got that sort of crouch the tracker sound of voice when it comes to Piccolo.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. Actually, I don't know Thrilling Adventure. I have a 4-year-old now, so I'm stuck watching a bunch of shows I don't want to watch.
My sister's the same way. She's taking care of her like boyfriend's son, and she's stuck watching all these really crappy kid shows that are on right now.
They're awful. She just wants to watch like Barbie Life in the Dream House. It's terrible.
At least you don't have to sit through Jake and the Neverland Pirates.
Oh, don't think I'm immune to that. I have to watch that crap, too.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Wait, that's a different person. There's two people there. Your voice just... Are you moving your mic around? You sound like a different person again suddenly.
No, I'm actually... this is actually the... I'm not moving the mic around. It's just this head... It's my headset. I don't know why my voice is sounding different.
It's really funny.
Oh, no.
I feel like you're replacing yourself with another Evan every, you know, two or three paragraphs.
Now, has there been a part of you that, like, shares some similarity between you and all these characters that you've portrayed in the Dragon Ball universe?
Well, I've only portrayed three characters in the Dragon Ball universe. That would be Goku, King Kai, and Nail. Mm-hmm. Nail's a very, very small character that is now in Piccolo's butt. So, Goku and King Kai are very much like my personality.
Did you just say Nail's in Piccolo's butt?
Yeah, I did. Yes, he did. And King Kai is, you know, he's got a dorky sense of humor, which I do. And Goku's pretty clueless and naive, which I am. I don't want to use the word naive, but I have an anger streak that's more like Vegeta, even though I don't play Vegeta, obviously. But Chris is actually a much nicer person than I am in terms of just generally being happy and nice. He's more like Goku. And his general personality. Although after a Vegeta session, you want to stay away from him.
That is true. I think he answered that question for me.
So, with this movie, Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F, tell us a little bit about it. Just how does Frieza come back after all this time?
Well, in Resurrection F, one of the letters of the alphabet is destroyed. It's the letter F, and they have to resurrect it so people can use words like fun or food.
It's like A, B, C, D, G.
Yeah, they had to resurrect the letter F. What was the question? No, it was...
What's the movie about?
It's about Frieza coming back.
How do they do it?
They do it with the Dragon Balls.
That'd be a spoiler, though.
Oh, that's a spoiler alert, yeah. Whoops. They do it with the Dragon Balls, hence the title of the series.
Yeah, it's obvious that they resurrect Frieza back, and they definitely use the Dragon Balls in which to do that. It is funny though, all the circumstances that surround it though, like how Frieza comes back and in what exact shape Frieza comes back in.
Nice. So, was there a specific part of this movie that you were thrilled to be recording? Like, what really stood out most for you when you were behind the mic when it came to Resurrection F?
Well, what really stood out the most for me was the quality of the animation and how they had, even since Battle of Gods, improved the fusion of CGI with the special effects around glowing energy around the characters and how that was improved from Battle of Gods. It was very good in Battle of Gods, but they made it even cooler looking. And
Sean and I, in that same day that Sean got to ride around in the limo with Masako Nozawa, we ended up going to dinner with a lot of the production staff from the movie. And the animation director was talking about how they were very careful about really trying to do very detailed martial arts in this as opposed to some of the other ones. If you remember in Battle of Gods, there was a lot of good fighting, but it was real blurry and fast, and they were flying all over the place. These are very, very deliberate martial arts moves that they've animated.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
Wow. It almost sounds like they may have done a little bit of that rotoscope like they did back in the 1930s and 40s.
Yeah. I still use rotoscoping today on a lot of things. But, yeah, that's true. It seems like – I don't know if they used any kind of rotoscoping technique, but the frame rates are very good, and it's very beautiful work and very specific. And I think it's really going to stand the test of time as the movie wears on in the future.
Awesome. So for fans of DBZ and even those who are just starting to get into the adventures of Goku, Krillin, Vegeta, and the rest of the gang, why should they rush to the movies to see Resurrection F?
Well, that's a great question, and I can say without any bullshit hype that the movie is actually really great, even if you've never watched Dragon Ball Z. If you haven't watched Dragon Ball Z and you'd like to see Resurrection in theaters, it might behoove you to watch Battle of Gods. Because there's that pretty much just establishes the general nature of all the characters and who's good or bad. And so Resurrection F is a really nice sequel to that in that regard. And even if, like I said, even if you don't haven't watched Dragon Ball Z, you'll still understand the movie. And it's just a really gorgeous piece of work and with a great story. And it's a lot of fun for all ages. I'm going to say all ages because I don't believe in censorship. So everybody should see it. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really, if you're a fan of Dragon Ball Z and you were hesitant to see the last movie because you heard maybe there wasn't enough fighting in it or something like that, this is definitely the one to see.
Because yeah.
It is fighting from beginning to end, and all of your favorite characters come back except for Yamcha to do amazing things, and it's definitely worth going to see. We've seen it 5 times already because of all these premieres, and I'm still not sick of it.
So we're going to see you next time.
Fantastic.